Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. And if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with pastor's wife, author, speaker, Gail Dudley. We talked about the lies that we believe and the importance of tracing, retracing your steps. When you hear something that diminishes you, that holds you captive, she asked the question, asked you to ask this question, who told you that? And help to uncover the lie so you can replace it with the truth. That full podcast will be up in just a little bit on our website, myfaithradio.com. So now we're going to switch gears a bit and spend some time talking about, are you ready? 7 things wives should stop doing. And before you get your feathers ruffled, I want you to know Mark Merrill joined me a month ago and we tackled guys first, 7 things husbands should stop doing. We'll review those at the top of the show here in a moment. But then we're going to unpack 7 things wives should stop doing. Why? So that we can know 7 really great ways we can positively influence our marriage. So let me tell you about my second hour guest, and we'll get him on the show. Mark Merrill is the founder and president of Family First, a national nonprofit organization dedicated to helping people love their families well. What a great calling, huh? Mark hosts the Family Minute with Mark Merrill, a nationally syndicated radio program that reaches, are you ready, almost 6 million people each day. Mark and his wife Susan live in Tampa, Florida, and have 5 children. You can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Mr. Mark, welcome back to the program.
Susie, I cannot believe you having me back. I mean, we talked about 7 things husbands should stop doing, and I thought after that, that would be it. But guess what? The husbands get their turn now. It's going to be 7 things wives should stop doing. So, gosh, I'm glad we have our day.
Absolutely, and it is your day, that is for sure. So before we dig in, I want to know, is there a verse that God's been speaking about these days?
Well, my favorite verse that I love to cite over and over again is really Psalm 1, which is, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit of season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers.
Well, talk about that passage. That's your next blog post right there. I mean, there's much in that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, but just talk about how it speaks to you.
Well, really what it speaks to me is, you know, keep from evil and do good, overcome evil with good, and that ultimately the way to do that is to delight in God's word. And when we delight in something, we do what? We spend time focusing on that. And so really what I ultimately see that saying to me is, I need to really delight in God's word, and he will fulfill and provide all of my needs. Doesn't mean I get everything I want, but he will give me everything that I need.
Good word, Mark. Thanks for sharing. So we had you on a while back, and we talked about a blog post that actually caught my attention, and it was titled 7 Things Husbands Should Stop Doing. Give us a little backstory on that post. We'll kind of run through those 7 things quickly before we get into the 7 things wives need to stop doing. But talk about that blog post.
Well, first of all, I'm wondering why it caught your eye.
I just thought I wanted to hear what you had to say, and I thought it was fair and it was well done, and I did follow it to the woman one as well, and I just thought, we got to talk to this guy. So there you go.
Well, you know, I what we found is husbands and wives really like practical things, and, you know, I wrote the most popular blog I ever wrote was 10 Things Wives should say to their husbands, and 10 things husbands should say to their wives. And so we said, well, not only is it verbally, but there's certain things that our spouses want us to do and not to do. And so we came up with this blog post, 7 things husbands should stop doing. And then we did the 7 things wives should stop doing. So that's kind of the backdrop.
And these are so insightful, so helpful. And I looked at the blog posts again, and I just marvel at how, again, angry people are. What is this, the 1800s? Is this the day of June Cleaver? And it's like, truly, I mean, there's some others who are saying this is so helpful. But then there's just cranky, prickly people like, really, you don't want to honor your husband and you don't want to, you know, bless your wife. And so anyway, that's another day, another story. So let's go through these seven things husbands should stop doing just for a refresher. Stop dishonoring your wife by criticizing her in front of your children or in public. Mm-hmm. Stop comparing your wife to other women. When your wife tells you about a problem she's having, don't immediately try to solve it. Stop trying to control your wife. Stop being passive when it comes to disciplining and training your kids, which, you know, okay. Don't be alone with any woman who's not your wife or related to you. Stop feeding your sexual desires from any source other than your wife. Now, I want to say I felt like you handled these things fairly and so well, and I want our friends listening today to know that whole interview is going to be linked up to today's show page. If you want to hear both interviews with Mark, they'll be right there accessible. At your
great. And by the way, Susie, don't tell anybody else, just between you and I, but I'm guilty of some of those things.
Okay. I'll keep it between us.
Okay.
And that's the thing about these seven things. I mean, they're so common for us. They're common mistakes that's why it merited a blog post. So here we are. Seven things wives should stop doing. This is the first one. Don't put others before your husband. So say more.
Oh, but what about the wife who's listening and says, well, my children come first? Well, I would suggest that from a scriptural perspective, that other than God himself, is that your spouse needs to be your top priority. And this is something actually, Susie, that my wife and I struggled with, especially the early years of marriage when she was really focused on the kids. And yes, there's a time for that. And there's a season for every activity under heaven, as Ecclesiastes says. But then when she started volunteering more in the church, a good thing, right? And doing things with friends and helping friends that took away from our time together and our relationship, she and I had to sit down and have some discussions about that, because we need to make sure that we make our marriage a top priority and give each other our freshest and best, not our leftovers. I mean, a man does not want to feel like chopped liver. He wants to feel like filet mignon.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, and this is for another show, we've covered it before, but a child-centered home raises self-centered adults. And so there's so much to that why that just doesn't work, even if it sounds noble. But, you know, oftentimes, Mark, wives feel like their husbands are inaccessible because, you know, you guys, you know, I mean this with all due respect, but can be compartmentalized and focused in whatever is in front of you. And so sometimes I hear this from wives that they feel like number four or five on the priority list. And that's why they will maybe put other friendships and hobbies ahead of their husbands, thinking, I'm not getting it from you. So I'm going to connect with friends. I'm going to develop a hobby because I don't want to be a nag. But before you know it, you're down on the priority list too. So what advice do you have for that woman who feels like, I want this to be the case, but I feel so, he's so inaccessible. I don't know how to do this.
Well, this is one of those items that goes both ways. And so those husbands out there that are listening right now, this is one that we need to make sure that our wife comes first as well, of course, after our relationship with God and our God-centered relationship. But she needs to know that too. And she needs to know it by us focusing on her, us giving her our full attention at the right times, and us fulfilling her needs as well. And that way, we can then have that discussion about making sure that our marriage is a top priority.
Mm. One thing my friend Dr. Greg Smalley always talks about is just as simple as trying to outserve each other. Just having that in front of you is a way to be available to your spouse. And just thinking about ways to simplify each other's life. You know what I mean? Get them coffee.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And, you know, what I've found with these things is I'm really good, Susie, at talking about them. But for me to implement these things and execute in my relationship, it's really hard, so I'm definitely guilty of that. So what I'm saying is that I have to be very, very, very intentional about doing each of these things. Otherwise, they're not going to happen.
So I know we're talking about wives today, but how do you do that? How are you intentional so that you can make sure that she knows she's a priority?
Well, let me share a very brief story. I put, for example, dates with my wife on my calendar, and I do not cancel them unless they're an emergency. I put on my calendar things that I need to say to my wife. Like if I need to encourage her about something, literally, I will put it on my Outlook calendar. And I told that to a friend about a year ago, and he said, Mark, you really don't do that. He said, you are that mechanical with your emotions. And I said, you know what? I really am. I need to do that. Otherwise, I'm not going to do it. Is it better for me not to do it or for me to put it on my calendar? And so I think he got it at that point in time. So ladies, listen up. Your husband, not always, but might be like me. And he might need to do certain things mechanically just to make sure he follows through with these things. And that's what I had to do.
And I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, as long as you feel like you're connecting, you know. So on the wife's side, making sure that the husband feels like a priority, just speaking on behalf of guys, what are some things that wives can do that make guys feel like they're a priority?
Well, there's several different things. First of all, it's okay to say no. And it's not just saying no to bad things or things that just waste your time, but saying no to good things can be important. And if your wife, if your husband knows that you're doing that, if you're saying no, it might be appropriate to say no sometimes to serve on a committee at a church. Can you believe that? It sounds like heresy, but it's okay to say no sometimes if you don't feel called to do it or you don't feel it's in your area of giftedness. So just saying no to certain things and letting your husband know that you're not going to do certain things because you want to make him and your relationship a priority, that is speaking volumes to your husband. Another way to make sure that he understands that he's a priority is, of course, to spend time with him. Another thing is when the children ask to do something or say complaining about getting something done or you taking them somewhere, it's okay to say, you know what, honey, that's important. And you can do that for yourself because I need to spend time with Daddy right now. And so just doing those simple things, showing your husband by your actions that you're making him a priority are very important.
I like what you said even about the commitments, the yeses and the nos, because just with the respect of his time to say, I'm thinking about joining this committee, but this is how long this lasts, or what do you think of that? But then really wanting his input rather than saying, this is what I'm doing, deal with it kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, talk it over and agree together. And if there's pushback, if there's not harmony or unity in the body as one flesh, as a husband or wife, I will say no to things. Like my wife, just literally a few minutes ago, on the way home, my wife and I were having a discussion about something one of our kids want us to do, our grown kids. And she said, you know what, I'm not sure that we want to do that right now. Let's talk to him further, our son further, and determine that. And I didn't, you know, I felt the opposite of what she was feeling. But I said to her, I said, honey, if the Spirit's telling you that, if you feel moved in that way, let's hold off and let's do talk to him. So we have to be unified and only move forward on things when we're both agreed and unified together.
Talking to Mark Merrill today about seven things wives should stop doing. And remember this, we talked about seven things husbands should stop doing about a month ago. We're going to link up both shows on the show page today. Maybe you've got questions about seven things wives should stop doing. I was actually super encouraged on Facebook when I asked this, and I said, I'm asking for respectful answers. Lots of women and a few men chimed in, mostly women, saying we got to quit nagging. We got to quit expecting them to read our mind. Well done. If we can be humble enough to learn, each of us, we can build better relationships. You got questions? Now is the time to call 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We're with Mark Merrill. This next one that wives should stop doing is this. Don't expect your husband to be your girlfriend. We're going to talk about that when we get back. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Mark Merrill about, are you ready? Seven things wives should stop doing. Got a call from Jesse checking in from Fargo with a great question for you, Mark. And I'm going to give that number 877-933-2484. You can check in with your questions, comments. Love to hear from you. Jesse, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie. Hi, Mark.
How are you?
Hey. Hi, I was just calling in because I'm going to be getting married at the end of July here. And I was just curious. What are some of the biggest pitfalls I, like, as a newlywed husband, should look to avoid?
I love you for asking that question, Jesse. What do you say, Mark?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. That's a great question. By the way, congratulations. That mm-hmm. is awesome that the two of you will become one flesh. I think there's some things that I did as a husband that would have been good to avoid. One of the things early on is I really tried to, in a sense, control my wife. I had always lived, of course, on my own. It was by myself. I was a bachelor. And I found that I wanted her to be more like me and do the things that I wanted to do and be like me. And the trouble with that is when I saw her becoming more like me over the years, I didn't like it. So I've learned over the years to let the reins go and let Susan be the woman, wife, and the mother that God created her to be.
Excellent. Jesse, you know what my oldest son told me? That the best marriage advice that he gotten was look in each other's eyes every day. And he says, as cheesy as that sounds, he said, you'd be surprised at how fast we jump into the rat race once you get married and you're kind of running side by side. But to make sure that you have eye time where you're looking in each other's eyes so you can talk about your day. Seriously, we as women love that time where you just pause and you ask questions because you're curious about our day, what's going on in our heart. I always say we're not hard to sweep off our feet. So congratulations, Jesse. And we're going to get you some materials from our Faith Radio shelf. Make sure you give Grace your address, 877-933-2484. So the first thing wives need to stop doing is stop putting others before your husband. We covered that before the break. Now, the second one, don't expect your husband to be your girlfriend. And I think a lot of women fall into this trap. So talk about why this can be stressful for the marriage, especially for the husband.
Well, it's no secret. There have been a lot of books written on it. You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and his needs, her needs, and all those different kinds of things. And we all know that men and women can burst differently. They think differently. They process things differently. And my wife and I, Susan, are very, very different. We talk very differently. I'm a wordsmith. I talk literally. She talks. She paints a picture like an artist, and she's very creative when she talks. And she thinks the same way, where I'm a literal thinker. I want to know how to get from point A to point B. I want to know the bottom line. And she likes to think things over, and I need to and jump on them very quickly, and I have to process them very slowly. So basically, she can't look at me to be her girlfriend just to chat with her and to talk like her and to think like her, because I am very different. Doesn't mean we can't have an intimate, wonderful relationship. It just means that I can't be a girlfriend to her. I can be a boyfriend to her.
And we've addressed this on the show before, Mark, but I think it's a good time to address it again. Oftentimes, we as women want our husbands to take the spiritual leadership in the relationship, but we want them to do it like a good Bible study girl. And we're mm-hmm. kind of setting you up mm-hmm. to fail when we have this unrealistic expectation. What say you?
Oh, no question about that one. I mean, a woman might have that expectation that he's going to sit down, they're going to chat, they're going to pray together. They're going to read God's word together, and it's just going to be amazing. It's going to be like heaven. And doesn't mean we shouldn't. We should pray together. We should read scripture together. But ladies, I would just encourage you, just let him do it on his terms. And if you want him to be the leader in your home, allow him to be the leader in your home.
Awesome. Okay, let's talk about number three. Don't dishonor your husband. And I want to just maybe talk about a few ways that we probably don't have to think too far about this, but using sarcasm or cutting language, especially in front of others, questioning his judgment in front of others, and being secretive or deceptive, maybe with finances. But talk about this in general and even more specifically.
Well, I mean, you just hit the nail on the head. There's so many ways that you can dishonor your husband. Of course, a husband can dishonor his wife as well, and we already shared that on the last program that we did that I know is in your show notes. But really, you see it all the time, and when I'm out, even with other believers, we hear a wife or a husband talking very negatively about the other, about what they don't do in their relationship, about all the wrong things they say, the wrong things they do. And another way that I've seen a lot of women dishonoring the husbands, not intentionally necessarily, but especially when they have kids, they start treating their husband as if he is one of the kids, and like he just has no sense at all. And really, that can be very dishonoring and degrading to a man.
Indeed. And what I, you know, the point about questioning his judgment, I want to just give a caveat and a clarify here, because sometimes you hear this ancient advice that a woman should never question her husband's judgment. And I think, you know, it's good when we accept each other's influence. This is more about in front of other people. And it's just, you know, there's a way to do that. In fact, Kevin and I do that for each other. We just know if one of us misspeaks or missteps, we're going to do that privately so that we're not throwing the other in front, you know, under the bus, so to speak. So talk about that.
No question.
Yeah.
No question about it, Susie. I mean, and my wife and I, we've had to work through that as well. So again, I talk about these things as if I'm the expert, but these are things that we've walked through ourselves. And that really is so important, that we don't want to correct one another in public. Susan might say something when we're talking with some friends or out with another couple, and I'm thinking, it didn't happen that way. But, you know, so I could jump on her or correct her and make her look bad, or I could just go with it. Is it going to hurt anybody? No. So just let it go. And if it needs to be addressed or corrected later on, it can be corrected. So we need to make sure that we're not critical of one another in public, that we're not correcting one another in public, or being condescending to one another in public. Look at that. I didn't even plan it. 3 C's.
Alliteration. Stop. Absolutely amazing. This is where you say, I amaze me.
I amaze me. No, I definitely did not amaze myself.
No, I'm teasing you. But you know, you think about that. You know, we need to love each other and we need to respect each other. But studies have actually shown that men would much prefer to be respected. If they had to choose between love and respect, they would choose respect, right?
That's right. And that's the sixth thing that we're going to talk about today, is not making your husband earn your respect. And that's something that is very important.
Well, we have to take a break in just a moment, but we're going to take a quick call, anonymous call, question for you here. Thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and it's a great show. Appreciate it. And I have a question for you. How do you, it's hard for me to word it, but I'll try to be quick. How do you get unstuck if you feel like you're doing these things and yet it's one way? If you understand
not
what I'm
reciprocated,
saying.
Not reciprocated, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, Mark, why don't you hang on for 1 minute? Mark, you've got about 30 seconds, and then we can take it on the other side of the break. But do you have a quick word for her if she's trying to apply these things of love and respect, but it's not reciprocated?
Okay, real quickly. First of all, getting unstuck. Look at these things. Read them over. Have them somewhere where you can look at them every day. And then also make sure you're very intentional about putting them into place. And the idea is not to look for an immediate return. This isn't a contract where you're investing, you're looking for some kind of consideration. You're doing this because God has called you to do it.
Excellent. Boy, that was concise. So, anonymous friend, if you have more questions, hang on. Just hold the break. It's only about 2 minutes long. Otherwise, we'll just pick up where we left off. We welcome your calls as well. 7 things wives should stop doing. Do you notice the great tone of this? It's not adversarial. It's not debative. It really is. We're trying to equip us to succeed in marriage and have a thriving marriage relationship. 877-933-2484 or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, or with Mark Merrill in a moment.
Propose to you, the truth is, marriage does not have to die. I know you're feeling like it's falling apart, and it can't go on anymore. But God is a God who knows how to heal, so just give it up to the Lord, and He will.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Mark Merrill today about 7 things wives should stop doing. And I want to just give the caveat. About a month ago, we talked about 7 things husbands should stop doing, not focusing on the negative, but truly it's an invitation to be more in your marriage, to have more in your marriage. So the first thing is to not put others before your husband. We can do that. We can fill our time, give our hubby the leftovers, and it sends the message that they're like leftovers to us. Second thing is not to expect our husband to be a girlfriend. And the third is don't dishonor our husband. So we unpacked that pretty thoroughly before the break. I want you just to maybe speak one more thing to that anonymous friend who said, how can I handle my heart when I'm trying to do these things, but he's just not responding? You said, this isn't an instant return on the investment. This is sort of, we got to think long. Just say another word about that.
Well, it really is a long-term investment, first of all. And ultimately, why do we do these things? Because we're loving God well, and we're being obedient to him. And he says if we're doing that, we also need to love our neighbor. Our closest neighbor is our spouse. And love, as we know, is not a conditional thing. It's not a if I do this, then you need to do that kind of thing. It's I'll do this regardless of what you do. That's what true love is. That's the ultimate love of Christ, is giving of ourselves selflessly and sacrificially when there's no expectation of anything in return. Now, that's really easy to say. It's very difficult to do. But chances are, if you really invest in your relationship, ultimately, whether it's a year, a month from now, or a few weeks from now, or even a year from now, you'll start seeing some returns.
Love that. And I think, like you said, maybe print out both of these blog posts and ask for some time when you're not in a heated argument, when the air's not hot, so to speak, where you're sitting down and just saying, I heard a show on these things. Let's walk them through and talk about them. And then ask, I think, when the defenses are down, how can I do this better for you? How can I communicate better respect? That could actually be a really great conversation, especially if he's not reciprocating, don't you think?
Susie, you don't even need me on the show. That was so good. And here's why, is because what it's doing is it's taking this neutral territory. Hey, I heard this on a show today. Let me go over it with you. What are some things, what are some of these things I don't do well, and how can I do better? And that opens him up completely. And then at a future point in time, maybe he would even reciprocate that and ask about how he can do better. But that focuses everything on us and doesn't put the burden on them, or and it does not make it an accusatory type of situation.
Excellent. So we've got through three. Here's number four. This is the fourth thing that wives need to stop doing, and here it is. Don't use sex to bargain with your husband. And the fact is, this is probably, well, I know, I think it happens more often than we probably realize. So say more.
Yeah, and of course, I think most of us know that that does not happen verbally, or, hey, I'll do this if you do that. That's not usually how it happens, in very, very subtle ways, where a husband sometimes is left to felt like he has to earn it. If he's been a good boy, if he's done the dishes, if he's done this, if he's said this in the right way, if he's met my emotional needs, if he's fulfilling my love language, then and only then will I have an intimate relationship with him. So sometimes it's very unintentional, but it does occur. And I did a podcast, Susie, that you need to be on, entitled What Do You Do When You're Not in the Mood? And that's at markmail.com. I know that's on myfaithradio.com as well. And what I talked about there is there are certain things when you're married that you do when you want to be intimate, and but when you both feel like it, but also there's to be an intimate relationship sometimes, even when you don't feel like having that intimate relationship.
Kind of reminds me of what our pastor said. You know, there's two times we should worship, when we feel like it and when we don't. And,
exactly.
You know, it's the truth in our relationships as well. What is the message that we as wives send to our husbands when we use sex either as a bargaining tool or just, that we kind of have a real string attached to it?
Well, what is saying to the husband, whether it's spoken or not spoken, is that this is a performance-based relationship. I love you if, not I love you no matter what. And it says that I love your performance, I don't love the person, ultimately. And the wife might say, you know what, he knows I don't think that way, but you know what? When you have those kind of actions, when you withhold sex and use it as a bargaining tool, then he can be left to feel that way.
Good point. Got questions or comments? Here's the number, 877-933-2484. So the fifth thing that wives need to stop doing is stop giving your husband your long-term to-do list. Ouch. Okay. Talk about this one.
Well, you know, and this is I don't know if we need to spend a lot of time on this one, but it's really to keep your honey-do list short. Let him find something that's manageable and give him something in small chunks so he can get it done. And you say, well, I don't have to do that. I'm always taking care of the kids. I'm always doing this. And women seem to be better at those kind of things. But men sometimes compartmentalize things. And if they can get a compartment checked off the list, that's great. And they love it. And so make sure you make those lists manageable. You can give them a lot of lists. Just let them celebrate a victory with you after he gets some things done. And also, he should do this with you, but encourage him as well. When he gets them done, just don't ignore it. Cheer him on and say, hey, honey, awesome, well done. When my wife does that with me, I'm like, I want to do more. Give me another list if she cheers me on. But if she takes it for granted and acts like it's no big deal, which she would admittedly say she has done, then I'm like, I'm not doing anything else. I don't want to do anything else. And so that's very, very important. In fact, Susan, I remember very quickly one time doing the laundry. And I've done it many times. Don't worry, ladies. It's something that I do on a regular basis. I remember one time doing it initially early on in the marriage. And I like did it. I folded all the clothes. And I said, hey, honey, come here. Look what I did. And she was like, oh, okay, thanks. And she walked away. And I was like, I did this incredible thing for my wife. And that's all I get. I'm not doing this anymore. So a guy wants to be cheered on.
And so the long-term list feels like, gives you no sense of success, no sense of completion, and a constant sense of not enough. Is that kind of the downfall of a long-term list?
Yeah, it's basically saying to your husband, you know what, I'm never content with anything you have done or will do.
So keep it short and keep it simple and then cheer when it's done. That's not hard to do. We can do that, right? Well, you know, we don't want to be nags, and we can easily fall into it as wives. But once again, you know, there are times when husbands maybe tune out their wives. They stop hearing them, and they tend to gravitate towards maybe the tasks that they want to handle. And so that is where we get the reputation. Sometimes wives truly are nags, but sometimes we feel like, I'm trying to redirect, because I've asked for it. You said you would, and it keeps getting put off. What's a healthy way to handle that? So not a long-term list, but at least keeping things on your radar.
Yeah, I think a good thing to do is literally, when we say a honey-do list, instead of a lot of times a wife might just say, hey, I need you to do these three things today. Literally, Susan will write down a short list on a little piece of paper, three or four things, and instead of barking out the order saying, you need to do this today. Honey, I would be so grateful if you would do this for our family today. Is this something that you can do? And then get his response. If he says yes, then let him do it and get it done. But one thing that's important is let him do it on his own time frame. If he doesn't start doing it right away, we don't need to nag him. Let him do it on his own time and in his own way and just count it and say, okay, thanks for committing to that, and I know you'll get it done. And just affirm him that he will get it done, and then just watch him do it.
And that's the tricky thing, right? But we can do it. We can do it.
That is.
Yes.
That is. It's hard to hold back when you see him just sitting there after he commits to doing it. He doesn't do it. He doesn't do anything for the first 2 or 3 hours. But let him do it on his own time frame, but get that commitment up front. Now, the question is, well, what if he doesn't do it at all that day? Well, at the end of the day, come back and say, well, this is something you committed to. Tell me, what are you thinking? Were you thinking of doing it another day? Because these need to be done no later than Monday. But given that ultimate deadline, that time frame when they need to be done, please, can you please do these by Monday, for example, because we have a guest coming into town, or my mother's coming to stay, or whatever it might be. Let them know when it needs to be done. And usually men can work with deadlines. They do it at work all the time. And they can do it at home as well.
Okay, so the long-term list, nix that, and then be really clear about just the need and the hope around these tasks. Okay, the sixth thing, here it is, don't make your husband earn your respect. You touched on it a little bit, but say more about it.
Well, this is the old love and respect thing where neither love nor respect has to be earned. And, you know, Susan, we hear so much in our world today that, you know what, I don't respect him. He hasn't earned it. You should have seen what he did. You should have seen what he said. Well, respect from a scriptural perspective, Ephesians 5, it's not a conditional command. We're taught to love our wives, and we're also taught to respect our husbands. And so respect is not earned. It should be freely given.
Okay, say more about what that looks like for us as women. We, again, touched on it, but I want just to, from a guy's perspective, on daily, let's say this, let's take it from another angle. What are some daily ways we show disrespect that we think nothing of, but they go in for you?
I think there's especially two areas. One is always questioning his judgment. Another one is always questioning his abilities. Now, this doesn't mean, ladies, that we shouldn't ask our husbands about certain things and challenge them in certain ways about things that you might not agree with. But the consistent questioning everything he does says that you really don't believe in him or respect him. For example, when you question his judgment, you know, a lot of that times that has to do with directions, right? You question his judgment about, you know, is this really the shortest way to get where we need to go? And he wants to be in command of making sure that happens. It can be questioning his judgment about finances. There's so many ways that you can question his judgment, and it just becomes difficult for a husband when his wife is always questioning him, making really kind of stripping him, as he would see it, you may not see it this way, of his manhood. And another thing that sometimes wives do is question a man's abilities. They say, oh, the plumbing's broken or the sink is broken. Well, I know you can't do that, so I'm just going to call John, our neighbor, to come help fix it. Well, a man doesn't want to be shot down even before he's had an opportunity to fly. So we need to make sure that he is at least given the opportunity to show his wife that he is the man, that he can be her hero. And ultimately, I think that's what us men want. This whole respect thing, it's really a man wants to be his wife's man and wants to be her hero. And he wants her to see him as that man who can leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I would guess you really pick it up. If there's a barb in our attitudes and our questioning, and if there's a sincerity. I remember when my three little guys were just little guys, and I was mad at my hubby for something, and I walked away, so he didn't see it, but I rolled my eyes, and literally the Holy Spirit said, that man is somebody's son. You have three little sons. Do you want a little blonde bimbo rolling her eyes at one of your sons?
Oh,
don't do it to him.
Bam.
And I'm telling you what, I repented, and I'm like, I'm never rolling my eyes at him again. But I could tell that was dishonoring, even if he didn't see it. And so that we really do have to steward our perspective, because if you're not stewarding your perspective, the barb will be in there whether we like it or not, won't it?
Yeah, no question about it. And really, all those things that, those are all just symptoms. The things we say, the things we do, the eye rolls that we make are all really come where? From the heart, right?
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
so we need to make sure we always do a heart check and really look at our motives and why we do what we do, and making sure that our heart is continually filled with the love of Christ.
We need to take our one last short break. We're going to finish this point because I want to ask you to give comment on a wife whose husband maybe has checked out emotionally, mentally, how she cultivates respect towards him when she feels like he's not involved, he's let her down completely, and she hates where he puts his time. I want you to just think about that, Mark. We'll cover that. And then the final one is, do not expect your husband to be Prince Charming. We'll unpack that. Now's the time to call if you want to check in. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Tuning in, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with my friend Mark Merrill about seven things wives need to stop doing. Are you ready? Number one is, don't put others before your husband. We talked about that. You'll have to go back and catch the podcast if you didn't get it. Don't expect your husband to be your girlfriend. Don't dishonor your husband. Never use sex to bargain with your husband.
Amen.
Can I get an amen? All right. Stop giving your husband the long-term to-do list. Don't make your husband earn respect. Before we get to number seven, Mark, I'd ask you the question before the break. I want you to talk to that wife whose husband has checked out mentally and emotionally, and how can she cultivate respect when she has really anything but that because he's been so disrespectful? I know it's not always quid pro quo, but when a woman's heart is broken and shut down, how does she do that when she's thinking every choice he makes about his time, I don't respect because he's hurt me so bad? What are her first steps?
Well, I did hear that, and over the break I gave it some thought. And so I think there's at least two ways to approach your husband. Here's choice A, and then I'll give you choice B, and then you can tell me which is the best. So choice A husband is checked out, not paying attention to his wife, not spending any time with her, just completely ignoring her. So wife goes to husband, you never spend time with me. You only care about yourself. You need to get it right and start paying attention to me, or you're going to lose out. Or B, honey, I've noticed that we're not spending the time together that we used to. And it makes me feel sad when we don't spend time together. And so what can I do to make it better? So what's the difference? One is completely you-focused. It's accusatory. You never, you only, you need to. The other side, B, is I've noticed it makes me feel this way. What can I do about it? It's I-focused in sharing my feelings, which you really can't argue with. And so what's the logical choice? Choice B.
Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is, when we're so hurt by the other person, it doesn't always occur to us that we might have something to do with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
When you ask that question, you might get an answer that you don't like, but it's true. We've got to work towards it.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Always in a relationship, my wife and I say over and over, when we see people going through struggles, even when we have challenges, there's always, always, always two sides to the story. Yes, one might have committed an atrocious sin and be at fault, but guess what? Most of the time, not always, but most of the time, there are two sides to that story, and things don't just fall apart overnight. There's been a long-term deficit of maintenance on the marital vehicle. And so that's why it's so important on an ongoing basis to keep that machine humming well and making sure that we do things together, we study together, we learn together, we worship together as husbands and wives.
Well, you know, we have to really consider it like a bank account, to be making deposits, respect deposits, love deposits in that account. Because there are times, Mark, where we all act in ways that are beneath us, say things we wish we wouldn't. And I think you have a lot better chance surviving that and navigating that if there's something in the account. Because then there's forgiveness and there's grace. But if you live on the edge all of the time and make, you know, nothing of the slights and the eye rolls and the little naggy comments, when you finally do blow it big, how do you know if that person already isn't feeling like this? We're so near bankruptcy. It's one more thing and I'm out. I hear that all the time, Mark, where a husband will say, I didn't see it coming. I woke up one day and she was done, but it was a slow death for her. So I want you to talk about just the accumulative effect of respect and love deposits, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no question about it. We need to make sure that we're consistently depositing love and respect into our wives' and our husbands' accounts respectfully, because guess what? You know, just as our accounts in our country right now are earning very little interest, when you're not depositing those things into their account, you're going to see a quick depletion very quickly. And when love is not present, when respect is not present in the marriage relationship, things can go south pretty quickly. So that's why it's so, so important to really love one another well and really to talk things out and address issues today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait for things to build up, but just have that open, honest relationship. And guess what? Here's the very foundation of all of this. It's a relationship built on trust. Our relationship with Christ is built on what? Trust. Our relationship with our spouse must be built on trust. That means that we're going to speak honestly and openly, respectfully to one another, that we're not going to have secrets. And when things are on our mind, that we're going to gently share them with one another, that we're going to have this open, honest, transparent relationship. Because guess what? The same Holy Spirit that lives in me indwells in my wife as well. And that's why we are one flesh.
Good word. Okay, the final one on the list of seven things wives should stop doing to their husbands is don't expect your husband to be Prince Charming. So what's the problem with that? Sorry.
Well, I think we can really have, it doesn't mean we shouldn't dream and think of our husband as our Prince Charming. But guess what? Newsflash, no husband is perfect. And no husband is the Prince Charming of your dreams. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to disappoint you. There's not one person in the entire world, if you really think about it, other than God himself, who has not disappointed us. Our spouse will disappoint us, and they will disappoint us more than once. And so we can't just have these ethereal, dreamy expectations. We have to be real about it. Doesn't mean we can't be excited and have a romantic, wonderful relationship. We just have to be real about it. And we have to cultivate what I call an attitude of gratitude toward our spouse and focus on the things that we do appreciate about our spouse rather than all the negative things. Because guess what? If you look for the bad in your spouse expecting to find them, find it, you surely will, mm-hmm. as Abraham Lincoln once said in a paraphrase.
Mm-hmm. And my mentor says, expectations are premeditated disappointment. And yet, you know, when you have mm-hmm. these expectations of how it has to look and it doesn't happen, you're disappointed. But some stop there and stop dreaming, as you say, and have expectancy. And yet, if we do this right, if we don't have impossible expectations, but we communicate well to each other and we do it with gentleness and respect, we can actually groom each other to love each other better than we did last year, don't you think?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, I can tell you, my wife would say the same thing if she was on right now, is that our love really has grown over the years, so much more so than even when we first got married. And as we don't need to get into what love is. We know what it is. It's ultimately about giving. That's how you spell love, G-I-V-E. For God so loved the world that he gave.
Hmm. Well, this has been a great time, Mark, and I pray that you'll come back again and talk to us about another one of your electrifying blog posts.
I'll keep going.
Yes, I'd love to do that. You have great, great content. As we wrap up, I'm wondering if you'd pray for that anonymous caller and everybody she represents, really that person who feels like her account is almost empty. Would you pray for her?
Mm. Father, we are so grateful for this time together. We know you are an incredible God and a God of miracles. And I know there are men and women, husbands and wives, who are listening even right now. And they're hearing all these things and they're thinking, these haven't even occurred at all in my marriage. And you feel discouraged and despondent. And guess what? Those things can be redeemed. Father, we do pray that you would move in a mighty way through those relationships of the husbands and wives who are discouraged and challenged, who are listening, and that you would do a mighty work, even right now in their marriages, that you would soften each of their hearts, and that they would come to you before your throne in unity and present their request to you, and that you would grant their request to have strong, healthy, vibrant marriages that honor you in an incredible way. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Mark, thanks for all you do for the family, and thanks so much for giving us your time today.
Thank you, Susie. Always great to be with you.
Yeah, you'll see the podcast up on our website in just a little bit.
Lord, won't you help me believe what I believe? Because you are bigger than any battle I'm facing. You are better than anything I've been chasing. Savior and royalty, the only hope for me. Jesus, you are the king of my heart. The king of my heart. All by myself, I fall to pieces, but you are strong. When I am, I feel your kingdom come.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast up on our website, myfaithradio.com. And just as a little favor, we'll see, have both there, 7 things husbands should stop doing, 7 things wives should stop doing. Maybe we can work together and build stronger marriages. Remember this, I try to say it to you every day, and it's true. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.